June 14th, 1998, 5:45 a.m., Nags Head, North Carolina, T-minus 3 hours to launch, day one.
Tori Merton McClure was the first woman and the first American to successfully row across the Atlantic Ocean. She succeeded in 1999 after an attempt in 1998 was foiled by a hurricane. Her vessel? A 23-foot rowboat she had built and named the American Pearl. The story of her accomplishment has inspired the new musical, Row, with a book by Daniel Goldstein and music and lyrics by singer-songwriter Don Landis.
Ordinary women don't row alone across oceans. No woman has ever rowed solo across an ocean. No woman has even attempted. 5 men have died trying. But this does not worry me. I am no ordinary woman. I am Odysseus.
Feel the spirit, independent spirit, coursing all through me. Oh, I feel it. I feel the spirit, independent spirit. I'm gonna let it guide me on.
Williamstown Theater Festival presents the world premiere of Row, directed by Tyne Raffielli, at the Clark through August 15th. Please note there is limited ticket availability. Don Landis and Daniel Goldstein join us now. Don and Danny, welcome back to the roundtable. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Let's have you both tell me the story of how you met and decided to create this new musical, Row.
We started talking about it around 2014. I had just finished writing Unknown Soldier with Michael Friedman and was looking for a new project that was about to go into production at the Williamstown Theater Festival. I was looking for something new. And I ran into Don, not embarrassingly, at a Fish concert or a pre-party for a Fish concert. And we had known each other before that. I had always been a fan of her music. And so I said, hey, maybe we should talk. So we went and had breakfast and like gave each other bits of stuff to read and think about and whatever we did. And then all of a sudden we were making this. Don had handed me this book and said, you know, I read this. I think it's really amazing. I don't know if it could be a musical, but then I read it and was extraordinarily moved by Tori's story and the impossibility of making a musical about a woman who spends the entire book on a boat. And I thought, well, this has to be what we do.
Yeah. And when Danny said, have you ever thought about writing a musical? I said, no. The thought actually had never crossed my mind, which I don't know why, because I love musicals. I grew up, you know, as a kid loving them. So those worlds don't intersect very often, the singer-songwriter world and the Broadway world. But I think that's happening more and more, and that makes me happy.
After you read the book, how did you approach it? How did you begin to craft the story that you would put on stage?
I was working at Goodspeed and doing a musical there, and I sort of took the book and put it on index cards and then laid all the index cards out on my table. And then when that got too small, I laid them out on the floor in the living room of this housing. And we sort of figured out what the envelope for the story would be, which has changed a number of times since then. But at that point, we sort of put together the outline of it so we could figure out how to tell the story. And it really involves flashbacks so that you can get a sense of these other people in Tori's life as she's going across this ocean. They sort of visit her in her brain and sometimes actually physically. So then we started doing that. We put together an outline. This was all after we went down to Louisville and got Tori's permission in her office to write a musical about this story.
She is currently the president of Spalding University, which is where she went to get her MFA in creative writing so that she could write her memoir. And now she's the president of that university.
She just goes for it completely, doesn't she?
Yes, exactly. No limits. That was actually printed on her gear. That was the slogan of Sector Sport Watches, which I find very funny, which was her sponsor for the first row.
That's incredible. But I interrupted you. You were saying you went there, you talked to her.
Yes, we did. And I played her 2 songs and we showed her an outline, and she had her cultural ambassadors join her because, well, who did she quote? Byron?
Byron. Yeah. Before we even got in the office, she was quoting Byron. And then we sat down and talked.
So her sense of pop culture was a little antiquated, I guess you could mm-hmm. say. So she had some ambassadors with her, or advisors, I guess. And that's where it began. And it's been a while. It's been, and she's been so supportive this whole time. Like, she's come to see readings and concert versions of the show. And, you know, she took me rowing and...
She made your baby a boat.
She made my baby boy a boat to sleep in.
So you have a brand new baby, pretty new. How many weeks old as we're speaking is your
newest? He'll be 3 weeks old tomorrow.
3 weeks old. And he sleeps in a handcrafted boat crib that Tori made for him.
Yeah. Out of marine plywood. So, which is what her boat was made out of, because not only did she row across the Atlantic, she also built her own boat. If she can build her boat to brave the Atlantic, she can build a boat cradle for my infant.
Absolutely. You both sound immeasurably impressed by her. So you must have felt a great deal of responsibility in translating her story for people who aren't familiar with it to experience it for the first time, as they likely will when they see the show.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we were very nervous when she came to see it. At first, she was very not interested in seeing it. I think it was, you know, the story is a deeply personal one, and one that brings up a lot of her history that's difficult and, you know, not something that one, there's a difference between writing in a book privately and then someone reading it privately. But I think sharing in public, in, you know, scene and song, is a very different thing. But then she came to a presentation in New York, and her open-hearted spirit and generosity is kind of remarkable. So now I think that she finds the idea that this story, you know, the book didn't sell a million copies for many different reasons, none of which have anything to do with the extraordinary quality of this piece of writing. And so I think for her, the more that this story of resiliency can be shared, the better off. So She's been amazing about it. So I don't actually weirdly worry about Tori coming to see it so much as I do, like, our friends.
Tell me more about that. What do you worry about your friends coming to see your projects?
Oh, I mean, I just think everyone's going to hate everything. Like, I just want to, I sit in a hidey hole in the back and
he paces. You don't even sit. You pace.
No, I can't sit and watch a show. I like pace or, I lie on the ground where I can't watch and just listen. I find it to be an excruciating experience to sit and watch my own stuff.
It's funny because I have the opposite experience, because for me, the first time I saw this performed where I wasn't singing in it, I just cried the whole time. I was so moved by it because I had never experienced it from the outside. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
I
guess, you know. Yeah, it was really cool. And it still remains moving to me. Even the other day, we had a run through and I was moved. It's just very exciting to see all the pieces coming together.
Can you tell me about your director, please?
Tyne Raffaele is our director, and she came onto this project, Danny, like a year and a half ago?
But it was essentially, it was probably about 2 years ago. It was in preparation for the Williamstown production of it. So we did a reading with her, and then we were getting set for the summer of 2020 when, you know, mm-hmm. Stuff happened, as Dick Cheney once said.
As all that stuff happened, there got to be a semi-full production audible recording of the piece, which is completely out of order from the normal, if there is a normal, progression of things with most musicals. What is it like to have that recording available, and has the show changed since that recording was made last year?
I mean, it's pretty amazing to have that recording take place. And Tyne and Mary Mitchell Campbell, our music director then, and aside from, you know, the amazing production team at Audible and our producer and you know, all the people who worked on
the orchestrator and everybody.
Everybody who did work on it just did extraordinary work in really difficult circumstances, trying to record a musical in person during the height of COVID. You know, we were recording it in November of 2020, which was, you know, getting to be mm-hmm. the worst of it. So, you know, trying to be in person during that time was remarkably difficult. But we managed to do it. And the show right now is basically the same. There's a couple of shifts in things, a couple of little additions, a couple of little subtractions, but essentially it's the same show, but done, you know, live. Although, you know, even this production is not necessarily what would happen in under normal circumstances, because it was created, Tyne and the team had to sort of create what it would look like back in February when decisions needed to be made about a season. And there were tons of restrictions that we didn't know what was going to happen with vaccines and rollouts and what the cases were going to be like. So, you know, the aesthetic of the production is both married to what is meant to be done in the script and the music, and also in terms of what would be and is possible, you know, safe for people to come see a show, even under the worst of circumstances.
The Williamstown Theater Festival premiere production is going to be taking place at the beautiful Clark Art Museum in Williamstown, Massachusetts. What does that special staging and special location mean for the production? How's it looking? What's going on?
The stage looks so cool. They built it onto over the reflecting pool. Really stunning. I've only seen it in photos because I'm going up in a few weeks. But yeah, Danny's seen it with his own eyes. How's it look, Danny?
It looks pretty great. I mean, it's a really beautiful installation. The Clark was really insistent, and rightly so, that whatever we do fit with the aesthetic of their museum, which has a gorgeous architecture. And so our design team has been really careful to make sure that whatever we do out there feel intrinsic to the space that is surrounding it. So it really feels like it has a grandness to it that, you know, can feel like the ocean, while there is an intimacy of seating and where we are that really reflects the experience of being on the boat.
When I saw the press release that announced it was going to be performed this summer at the Clark at the Reflecting Pools, I was like, that is perfect.
It'll be weird,
but wonderful. And to have just like water available there, it's such a beautiful spot. I'm so excited for you guys.
Yeah, Mandy Greenfield has some good ideas.
She does. You
know, of course she does.
I have to say, shout out to Mandy Greenfield for her resiliency in the face of crisis at every turn.
And her shepherdry, is that a word? Her shepherdessry. I don't know what the word is. But she's been a great guide for this piece also over the years, and had so many great ideas along the way. So we are very grateful.
One quick question before I let you guys go. As we've established, Tori Merton McClure is incredible, and you had to find an actor to play her. You have been able to cast the great Grace McLean. How was that search, and what was it like when you knew you had your Tori?
I just feel so thrilled. I had actually met Grace and heard her sing years before in a totally different context, and I remember the power of her voice in a room and being kind of like shook by it, even in a very small recording studio in a basement somewhere in Dumbo, you know, and to have her in this role, I don't know. It just all comes together and it all makes sense. And it just seems exactly right to me. And I'm thrilled to have her singing these songs. It's an honor.
Yeah. She's pretty extraordinary. The depth of her soul is bared at every moment. But also from a writer's perspective, she always asks the smart questions and always asks them in a way that really moves the process forward. It's really a pleasure to have her in the room.
The Williamstown Theater Festival production of the world premiere musical Row, with book by Daniel Goldstein and music and lyrics by Don Landis, will run at the Clark Art Institute through August 15th. You guys, thank you so much for your time, and congratulations on the beautiful work.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah. It's always a pleasure.
To learn more, visit the Williamstown Theater Festival website at wtfestival.org.
This is WAVY News, and I'm coming to you live.
Channel 3 WTKR.
WNCT9 on your side. From Nag's Head, we're Tori Merton.
We're a Louisville local.
Where a woman is attempting to row a boat solo.
All alone.
By herself.
Across the Atlantic.
To the other side of the ocean.
To France.
Becoming the first woman and the first American to do so. I know that the only question I have...
The first question.
The question that's on everyone's mind is, why?
The worst question.
How do you answer?
Why?
Not something they'd ask a man. Why row a boat across the Atlantic when you can sail?
Why sail when you can fly?
It's a simple question, Tori. Why?
Why would you climb Mount Everest? Why would you dare row the sea? Why would I climb Mount Everest? Because it's in front of me.
As we just mentioned, Grace McLean is the actor portraying Tori Merton McClure in Row. Her performances in other projects have been called electrifying by the Huntington Post and phenomenal by the New York Times. In addition to performing on and off Broadway, McLean makes time for her band, Grace McLean and Them Apples, and for radio interviews. Grace McLean, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am extremely excited about Row. I've been following it since whenever it was first announced. When I heard that you were attached to perform, nobody needs to know what I thought, but I thought, perfect, wonderful, that will be great. Tell me how you first heard about the project and how you've tackled embodying Tori Merton McClure.
Yeah, well, it's been really exciting, you know, because we were supposed to do this show at the festival last year. So I know that this show has been kicking around for a while, and Don and Danny have done a lot of different readings and concerts. They had reached out to me in years past, but I like my schedule never quite lined up. So I've heard about this show and its development for a while, but I've never been able to really be a part of it. And then early 2020, I got the gig, but we're just now, you know, a year and a half later, actually doing it live. But it's not our first time doing the show. Mandy Greenfield, the artistic director here at Williamstown, had this amazing idea to partner with Audible Theater to record everything that would have been in the festival in 2020, including this musical. And what was so cool about it is that we really made it like a radio play. We recorded everything, not just the songs, but all of the scenes, but also all of like the soundscape. It's a total time. Raphaël, our director, likes to call it a movie for your ears. And it really is. It was a really exciting process and way to for us to continue to investigate and tell this story. But now, of course, being here in person with bodies, oh my gosh, you never knew how much you were going to appreciate breathing the same air as other people and not be scared of it. Yeah, the story continues to change because, of course, this is a different medium and there are certain things that worked in the audible realm that work differently when it's live, which is so fun and so exciting to discover. And yeah, telling Tori's story is so exciting because I personally am interested in it because it's a story about a strong, powerful, complicated woman who is not an ingenue and who is also not a tragic figure. You know, she is triumphant and yet also like multifaceted, you know. She's a well-rounded gal and she's a contemporary. You know, it's not some like, we're not looking far back at some historical, like this woman accomplished this amazing task of rowing across the ocean. And there's something so exciting about like being able to look at the stories of extraordinary people doing extraordinary things. Maybe we can call them ordinary people doing extraordinary tasks being completed by people who we can like talk to now. You know what, like there's this meeting of something sort of epic and ancient that is still preserved in this modern age in this woman's story. And it's, you know, the show is not just about, yes, she crosses an ocean and a lot of time we're in a boat. The show takes place in a boat, just one lady in a boat. But it's about so much more than that. It's about her life and her struggles and her relationships and how she learns from and deals with those things. And I just want to say something about this story in this moment too, because so much of the story takes place in isolation, which is something that we all know something about. You know, we've all just recently have been so isolated. And what happens in this story is like, what are the things that confront you in your isolation? What are the demons that come up, the fears that you have to face that maybe in our busy lives we're able to sort of gloss over or brush away, or we can fill the time with other things. But there's something about that solitude that forces us to confront the deep, deep things that are sitting with us. And I think that that's something that we can all really relate to right now.
Unfortunately, yes, absolutely it is. And then fortunately, because, you know, relating through art is a very important part of what art does.
Absolutely.
Have you met Tori?
I have not met her in person, but I've we've had two different little Zoom meetings with her. The cast has had the Audible cast. We had a meeting with Tori, and then the cast here in Williamstown, we had a Zoom meeting with her. But she is coming to the show, and I'm so excited about it. She's just an incredible lady. I'm gonna tell you what I called her after I first met her, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but I just think it's really cute. I think of her as the dorkiest angel, because she is just like, she's a total nerd. She's like a dweeb, which is great. I mean, I love nerds and dweebs. And she's also just like so incredibly kind and thoughtful. Like, she will, if she knows she's going to meet you, she's going to do research on you. She wants to know about you and who you are, so that she can come to the meeting with you with like intelligent questions about you and your life and the things that you're doing. Like, it's so incredibly thoughtful. She really cares about the people that she interacts with. And that's what I've taken from my two brief virtual remote interactions with her. And I'm excited to see her in the flesh.
I interviewed Don Landis about the show last summer, and I just talked to Don and Danny Goldstein, who wrote the book, and now talking to you. And every time I've gotten the opportunity to speak with anybody involved in this project about Tori Merton McClure, I learn another amazing thing about her. She's just endlessly interesting, because no one had yet mentioned, each interview has contained multiple positive things, but there's so many aspects to her, like you said, that make her extraordinary, but also ordinary, because, you know, who among us is one thing?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, of course.
In your career, you have been involved in a lot of new musicals, including creating your own. What do you like about lending your talents, your multi-talents, to a new show, to bringing up a new piece of work?
Oh, man. Being in the playground is the absolute best. I love a rehearsal room. I love figuring out the puzzle pieces. You know, it's like we're putting a puzzle together, but we're also like building the puzzle at the same time. Yeah, I don't think I've worked professionally on anything that hasn't been a new musical, but I do just imagine that there's something about, not to knock old work, work that's been produced before.
Right.
I think it's wonderful. And I can't wait to, someone cast me in it someday. But there is something about, like, you're like, oh, these are the puzzle pieces. This is the order that this goes in. How do we inhabit this and make that, like, that's its own challenge. But there's something like, woo, really sparkly about the thing still being in process and getting to have a hand in that process, you know, in this end as an actor, and getting to try on new lines and say like, well, you know, the emotional logic of this to this to this, I'm not sure if I quite get it. What if we like cut this line or change this line over here? To have a say in that as an actor is like, it's so incredibly satisfying, because, and I hope that it is for the writers too, because there's a feedback in from the page, from the writer's intention into what the experience of that is in the actor's body. You know, we just get to be down in the mud and collaborate together. And I just find that incredibly exciting. Yeah. I mean, once we're into performing the show and we quote unquote know what we're doing, that's its own other set of challenges. But I really do just love a rehearsal room, making things up.
Grace, it's been a pleasure to speak with you. Break an oar. Have a wonderful time. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
Grace McLean plays Tori Merton McClure in the Williamstown Theater Festival's world premiere production of Row, directed by Tyne Raffaelli, with a book by Daniel Goldstein and music and lyrics by Don Landis. The show is based on Tori Merton McClure's autobiography, A Pearl in the Storm. To learn more, visit WTFestival.org. I'm Sarah LaDuc, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
So, Terry.
Tori.
Sure, Tori. Are you an adrenaline junkie?
You try rowing 12 hours a day every day for 3 months. I don't think you'll be feeling much adrenaline.
Then it's the money, isn't it?
Money! Good one.
The fame?
Who was the first woman to climb Everest?
I don't know.
Junko Dubé. First woman to swim the English Channel.
Oh, I know that one. It was
Gertrude Ederle. first woman to the South Pole?
Oh, well, I...
Trick question. There were two. Shirley Metz and me.
Good speaking with you, Miss Merton.
Ask me, oh, ask me, dear Inquisitor. Do I have the gall to try? To that my answer, oh, Inquisitor, is written in the sky that I'll never justify.